Okay, the book of Jeremiah, and today we come to Jeremiah chapter 30. And it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." And that, by the way, is divine inspiration. That's it in a nutshell. Accurately recording God's revelation to his prophet is inspiration, and it results in the word of God. Verse 3, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." God wants his word written so that when the prophecies contained in them come to pass, then everyone will know that God had spoken those words in advance. 4. "And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace." Sin promises happiness. In the end, sin delivers panic and terror, trembling, not peace. That's just the way it goes. That's the truth. We can either believe the lies of temptation when it comes our way, that's going to make us satisfied, or we can believe the truth of God, but it is a fact. Verse 6, "Ask ye now and see, whether a man doth travail with child, why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness?" And so God is saying that sin's punishment will hurt like childbirth. Fathers in hell will know what the mother of their children went through times infinity. Verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God's wrath is tough, but it purifies those who submit to him while they are in it." And that, God says, is what's going to happen with his people Israel. Verse 8, "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more be served by him." It's all God. God started the punishment, and only God can end it. And he says he's going to break the bonds. He starts the punishment when we deserve it. He ends it when he's finished. Like the Bible says, shall we accept good from God and not evil? It all comes from him. Verse 9, "But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." David their king refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. God's true Israel serves Jesus their king today. He is the son of David. He is their king. Verse 10, "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid." And so God's people return to the land after 70 years of exile, and that is what God is promising here. Verse 11, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So God does not let his people get away with sin. But he doesn't punish them forever either, not if they belong to him. Those who reject God through Christ go to hell, and they're punished forever. God's people are punished with a view to their restoration. Verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, Thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous." In other words, you're as good as dead. They push God too far, and there's no saving them now from the punishment that will come their way. It must run its course. Verse 13, there is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. No one can go to bat for God's people. It's too late to stop God's wrath. They pushed the Lord too far, is what he is saying. 14, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. You find out who your friends are when you're in trouble, and you have nothing to offer anyone in return for their help. Israel had no one to help, and they had no friends, because their good time friends were just that, good time friends. 15. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. God says, quit feeling sorry for yourself. You were warned. You did not listen. You are getting what you deserve. Now stop your self-pity. 16. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that despoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Well, the rod of God's punishment will be punished for being mean to God's people. You know, just because God can use the bad that some people do doesn't mean that they are not accountable for their bad. 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. And from this we see that God can cure the incurable. With God there is hope for the hopeless. If we stick with God or return to God, he will give us good in the end. 18, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring back from captivity Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. God will show compassion. God feels sorry for suffering people, and whenever his justice allows for it, he shows compassion to sinners as well. Verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as in former time, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? No unbeliever will be bossing God's people around, says God. You know, today, God's people sometimes have to put up with unrighteous rulers. But someday, it'll be Jesus who will be calling the shots on this earth. And at that time, there will be no burden in obeying, because the rule will be righteous. 22, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And that's the way God intends it to be. There will be a normal relationship. God will provide and protect those who honor and serve him as their creator. And it is our duty. And it is his grace. And it is his mercy. It is our duty to serve him and to honor him as our creator. It is his grace and his mercy that blesses us in return. 23, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. God finishes what he starts. When he has been pushed to the point that he must punish, then he will punish until his justice has been satisfied. And we'll pick it up in chapter 31 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.